Whitey, Jimmy. It's RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
Busy morning coming up. It's 25 to 7 on a Monday. Plenty of people getting up and about ready for the working week. Hopefully we can make it a little bit easier for you. Stick around. Get involved if you like. 1300 652 927 on the open line number, or 0416 90 50 52 via the SMS, as Ricky Fowler seems to have found himself in a little bit of mischief.
Ricky can't win.
Yes, he can, no, and he will.
No, I've seen this US Open before. He doesn't win.
He's wearing orange. You have to be good if you wear orange.
Why? He hasn't won a major wearing orange.
Well, he's about to.
No.
He's going to win this.
Almost happy to double.
Double breakfast. But 2 weeks of breakfast.
I'm thinking about it.
I'm okay because it doesn't.
Such
really...
is my confidence. You're not giving up anything, so you're very.
Well, you're the one who's making silly statements.
I'm known for those sort of statements.
Ricky's under the pump. I'm there on three or four. I think it might be three. But it's a tough golf course. And as you said, Whitey, the weather has picked up a little bit on the last day's play for the US Open, and it's causing a little bit more havoc, perhaps, than it did earlier in the week. And one of the young men who is a part of the action is Nick Flanagan, who has been off the radar a little bit from the PGA perspective for a little while, but it was great to see him back out there in a major tournament at the US Open and there in Hills. And he's been good enough to join us on the Breakfast Club on RSN 927. G'day, Nick.
How you doing, boys?
We're going really well, mate. Appreciate your time. You have been off the radar for a little while. In fact, I think last year you might have caddied at the US Open for Aaron Price, and this year he caddied for you. What was it like to be back out there?
Yeah, it was great. It's obviously been a slow few years for me through injuries and a few other things happening away from golf. But it was a great feeling to be back out there playing kind of on the biggest stage in golf again. And hopefully it's a little bit of a stepping stone to keep on moving forward with the career and get back out there more often.
What were your emotions like in the build-up to it? Because obviously it's playing in the majors is the epitome. It's why every golfer is out there on tour, to be the best and try and win a major. To be back out there and that first tee, what was that moment like for you?
Yeah, it was surprisingly pretty calm. I was thinking leading into the week that it was going to be a pretty nervous, kind of shaky week for me, but I think my preparation had been great and having a good mate on the bag and stuff like that to keep me relaxed really helped. And I was just planning on being out there and enjoying the time and not trying to put too much pressure on myself. So surprisingly, not as nervous as I probably would have been in the past. So, I felt like I belong out there. It's just a matter of getting out there and playing a few more tournaments.
So, Nick, what's it like, before we go into the actual tournament, but even in the build-up to it on the practice range or practice, can it be intimidating seeing so many of the biggest names in golf around you when you've been off that stage for a little while?
Yes and no. I think probably more or less than maybe it was when I was a little younger. I've gotten to know a bunch of those guys from being out there, and still chat on occasion with a few of them, and we'll play in our weeks off, and so it's something that I am a little bit used to, but obviously teeing up in an open is a whole different thing. But I wouldn't say it's as intimidating as much as it's exciting to be out there with the best players in the world.
And then what about the intimidation of a course like Erin Hills that obviously wasn't as difficult as a lot of people thought because the wind didn't get up, but just the pure length of it? What was it like playing a golf course that's that long?
Yeah, so I guess our practice rounds, it was actually quite windy, probably more like what you're seeing on TV today. And when you play your practice rounds, you tend to tee off the back of the back tees and kind of play it at its full length. So it seemed like it was going to be a really long week teeing up there on Monday and Tuesday in those practice rounds. But they got so many different tee spots out there, they can kind of calm it down a little bit. But they still teed off most of the back tees the first two rounds, and of course it softened up a little bit, so the greens are a lot easier to kind of navigate. But it's still intimidating when you get up on one of those 520-yard par fives and it's 260. Carry to get to certain parts of the fairway. you can't have any miss hits, that's for sure. You end up in that fescue, and there's not much fun there. So,
Nick, just on the golf course, do yourself and other Aussies take a bit of confidence when you go to a US Open? They're link styles courses, which a lot of us play on over here.
Yeah, this course especially would have been great if they didn't get that rain, as far as Australians are concerned, because it was going to be super firm and fast around the greens, and you'd be able to hit those those run-up shots and, you know, bounce wedges in there 20 feet short and see that one big hop and then be able to check it. But it just didn't end up turning out like that. And, you know, you're backing up 7-irons and 8-irons there in that first round. So I think it would have played into the Aussies' hands a little bit more if it stayed firm.
So what were your expectations, Nick, coming in for this US Open? What were you trying to achieve out of it?
I didn't really have any, to be honest. It was just to be qualifying again and playing well this year in some of the small events I've been playing in and stuff like that has been a huge boost for me. And then my biggest expectation was just to try and be out there and enjoy being out there again and not put too much pressure on myself to perform, because a lot of the time when you really want to play good, that kind of turns out being the biggest fault in actually playing good that week, is because you want it so bad. So just try to stay out of my own way, and I think I did that pretty well. Just had a little bit of a hiccup, you know, on halfway through my second round that kind of completely halted my momentum, and it was just hard to get back on those US Open courses. It only takes 1 or 2 iron shots to go from being well inside the cut line to being, you know, back out to a hundredth.
What happens in those situations, Nick? I was thinking yesterday watching Paul Casey, who was going along really nicely and had a triple bogey. And it was his second triple bogey in consecutive days. And I know I'd throw a club, I'd get really angry with myself, and my round would just disappear. how do you keep it together and try and find a way to get your round back on track?
Yeah, well, I mean, not everybody does keep it together, that's for sure, but that's part of this game. It's one of those things when you try and force things, things tend to go in the wrong direction. I think Tiger was one of those guys that could always force birdies and under pressure situations, but a lot of the time, you know, 99% of everybody else that tries to force things ends up kind of going a little too hard and then going backwards. But I guess it's one of those things, these guys play so many weeks of a year, and to win tournaments like a US Open or to win any tournament out there on the US Open, I mean the US Tour and stuff like that, you need to be really good and also have a little bit of luck here and there on certain holes and kind of keep your momentum going during the round. A couple of 10, 20-foot par putts in the middle of a second or third round can really kind of vault you forward for the rest of the tournament.
Nick, I'm always interested when golfers go, especially into a big tournament, how they change their bag. Are you a golfer who, when you go into the US Open, because it's so long, you add the 3 wood or you take a, you know, a wedge out and add an extra iron in?
Well, I've been running with a 2 iron and 3 iron all year. I've switched between hybrids and my 2 iron a lot over the years, but these new 2 irons that they have these days are a lot easier to hit. You didn't really need a 2 iron last week because you're hitting driver off every tee. If you hit 2 iron off any of those tees, you'd be hitting driver for your second shot. So that was a pretty easy decision to make. But sometimes on the softer courses or the firmer courses, you want to mess around with the bounce on your wedges. But you know, other than that, I think a lot of guys will tend to keep their main clubs in the bag week in, week out.
Nick, well, I think a lot of golf fans still remember you shooting to prominence in 2003 when you won the US Amateur. It's been a long time since then, of course, but getting back to this stage, how does it change your hopes and your expectations about what you're capable of now, considering you qualified again for the US Open and got a look at the big guys again?
Yeah, well, it's one of those things where sometimes, you know, over the years, sometimes I'm wondering if, you know, if I do still have, you know, what it takes to be out there. But you know, I've won quite a few tournaments in my career on the web and nationwide and stuff like that. And I know I can do it. It's just a matter of being able to, you know, have the drive again and enjoy being in those situations and also being able to play a little bit more often, you know, play more tournaments during the year and not have to have a month off because I've injured my back or, yeah, like the surgery on my thumb and so on. Playing tournaments is very underrated. Hitting golf balls on the back of the range and trying to get better doesn't tend to work or compute when you get on a golf course and play in a tournament. It's completely different arena.
So where do you go now, Nick? What is your schedule over the next couple of months for people that want to follow you now?
So I'm playing a lot of state opens this year over in the US when I'm not getting into web.com events with my status at the moment, which is quite poor as far as getting into tournaments. So these are pretty much kind of pay-to-play events. I'm playing the Texas State Open in a few months, and the Colorado Open, and you know, you can make pretty good money in them. I think the Colorado Open's about, I think it's $100,000 for the winner, and then it drops down to like $10,000 a second and keeps going down. So just chasing these little mini tours and just trying to play as many tournaments as I can and get prepared for, you know, the end of the year, and hopefully get back to Australia and play in a few. I'd love to come home and play in those events at the end of the year. I haven't been back for about 3 or 4 years because of Q schools and injuries and so on. So I'd love to get home and play towards the end of the year as well.
How hard is that to keep motivated, Nick, that's your next 2 or 3 months and all that sort of thing? Is it that chance in the US Open that makes you feel, you know what, I can still do it? Because I could imagine it's not easy for you to be doing what you're doing at the moment.
No, it's definitely been a change. You know, we've got a mortgage and car payments and, you know, everything else that goes along with having a family. And I got married towards the end of last year. And there's a lot of extra things in my life now that mean I need to be responsible for more than just myself. So, you know, it puts a little bit of pressure on financially trying to get around the country and play, because you're not playing for those big checks every week. But sometimes you can get down on yourself. But it's been good this year as far as playing off the golf course. I've been having a lot more fun over here playing with some good friends, and my father-in-law, who plays on the Champions Tour actually, so I've been playing a lot of golf with him, and he's been a huge help to kind of get me loving the game again.
Well, it's great to hear that you love the game again, Nick, and we hope this is the injection of confidence you need to really go again and springboard back onto on the big tours across the globe. We appreciate your time. Look forward to seeing you in the summer for Australian Golf Tour. Good luck.
Yeah, anytime, boys. Thanks.
Good stuff. Nick Flanagan, fresh off the US Open at Erin Hills. He's in San Antonio getting ready for the next competition, next tournament in his world, but it's great to see him back.
Oh, absolutely, and I hope that people that were listening to that got an insight into it can be a hard life. And this is a guy that, as you said, won the US Amateur and was seen as one of the next big things in Australian golf. And that's some time ago now.
Yeah,
but
14 years ago.
You know, just having to pay to play in tournaments in the States at the moment to try and recapture, not so much the glory days, but give himself a chance to make a legitimate life out of it, particularly if you're trying to, you know, set up with a wife and a family, and the pressures that come with that. It can be really tough.